Hi, everybody. Welcome back to episode 3 of The Cold Bath. This is a short one, a little shorty episode. There were some things that Mr. Anonymous wanted to say as a follow-up to the Nifong episode. So we begin with a statement for the record about Frida Black.
Just for the record, I have never even seen a photograph of Frida Black. I do not represent her. I don't know her. We never slept together. Weren't in law school together. Nothing like that. But I understand her problem. What could she do once the district attorney said that the Scottsboro boys did it? What could she say?
You keep now just to refresh right. People. The Scottsboro boys is a quaint term from your history that someone will look up.
Right. The Scottsboro boys were, I believe, 7 young black males back 70 years ago, approximately, who had been falsely accused of rape.
So you're for using that to refer to the Durham boys.
Yeah. It went on forever, and. People in the local political subdivision naturally believed they were guilty because the established forces of law and order said they were. And what do the poor citizens know?
So I interrupted you. So you're saying you've never even seen Frida Black.
I've never even seen a photograph of Frida Black, and I've not been in any contact with her even psychically. But what could she do once the charges were made? This is during the American political election campaign. What could she say? No, they're innocent? Imagine the effect that would have on women, black males who have daughters, to say that the white Scottsboro boys were not guilty. She couldn't say that. She was trapped.
What did she say? Do you know?
I don't know, but she certainly was not getting a lot of press attention coming forward to saying Mike Nifong is the biggest blankety blank blank thing, you know, short of the Ku Klux Klan, and he's lying. I have no idea about the truth.
You're her advisor now.
Right.
What do you say to her?
Keep your mouth shut. Keep your mouth shut. This guy will be disbarred for life, and he'll be put under the jail because the district attorneys, the other district attorneys, not just in North Carolina, because I heard about this. I'm not psychic. I heard about this from a South Carolinian within days of it being a public matter. I was told what probably happened because that person wasn't psychic either. I'll tell you this. This is what we do know. When every other district attorney in your state comes forward and says, so-and-so has to go, there is something wrong.
Did they say that about Nifong?
Yes, in effect. There are ways of doing this. They did not form a lynch mob. They did not go to his home and wake him up in the middle of the night and say, Mike, see this rope? They didn't do it that way. They acted under the law. That's what he wasn't doing. They acted through the law. Let me tell you.
So let me just go back, because I want to keep running the simulation.
Yeah.
That's all you'd say. You know, Nifong is holding a press conference, and you say to Frida Black, don't do anything. Lose this campaign for district attorney.
No, I don't say that, because then she'd fire me if I said lose this campaign. But what I would say is this. You cannot go at a time of this kind of fever and say that the charges made by this young black woman may not be true. They'll hang you. So you have to keep your mouth shut and ride this out. Watch while your opponent is hanging himself. When your opponent is in the process of cutting his own throat, don't kibitz. That's what I'd say. Because I am not an idealistic young person who thinks that the truth will definitely out. I'm just someone who thinks the truth might out under the right set of circumstances.
Let's get back to Norman Mailer. Mm-hmm. We've left off there.
Okay. I was a kid, but I was also, I was thinking about politics. I was a kid I'd love to believe you guys are now, because I remember how great it was to be a kid. I remember when my number one mission in life was getting laid.
One of the first and most memorable conversations I had with you was you and I were sitting around the table with another friend of ours, and somehow we got on the subject of sexual partners. You know, we're playing that. Oh, not the number.
Yeah.
Well, let me just say, I'm not going to say the number.
The truth is that no one who has been in politics. Let's take someone who you've heard of.
Wait. Before you do this, let me just say what I'm going to say.
Right.
You had a high number.
Right.
I have a low number.
Right.
Mine was 10. But right. Hold on.
Right.
Now, your number was remarkably high, mm-hmm. and at the time, and I so high that I went back and did the math and actually found numerically it was totally possible.
Right.
If, let's assume, and it was the 60s and 70s.
Right.
Let's assume you had sex with someone once a month. You could achieve your number over the course of
right.
an adult lifetime
right.
very easily. And let's say you had a great month and you had two or three sexual encounters, you'd be way ahead. You know, that if you just have two partners a month, that would put you over your number. Let's make it clear, you weren't claiming Wilt Chamberlain numbers.
No, nowhere in that realm. No. It's just that the truth is, I don't know the number. That's the real truth.
Right.
And I never kept score, but I know, given that there were 365 days a year, and that we're talking about approximately four decades, that the number could have been much, much higher. And I have no illegitimate children so far as I know. I have no illegitimate children, period. Full stop. I don't. And I've never been married. So the only thing that I would have to be shy about is if I were to be so silly as to think that I would run for high office. That's never going to happen. Thank God for cancer, heart disease, diabetes, what may or may not be mild and remitting multiple sclerosis, and what were two slight strokes. Every day I think about them, I say, thanks, fellas, because of that, I don't have to be a part of the nonsense of the public culture anymore.
But yet there's still certain issues that you're very protective
about.
Oh, no.
I mean, not compared to a normal person. No.
In your life, we all have places where our privacy comes from.
Yeah.
My lack of privacy comes from, as someone once said, oh, yeah, you get off on being honest about yourself. And it was a fair dig, and I think they're right.
Mm-hmm.
I do get off on being honest with myself about myself. And so my lack of privacy comes from that place. In your life, with the privacy that you do have, where does that come from?
Well, I have not thought about it very seriously, but I'll tell you what I think off the top of my head. In doing that, I should give political advice to the audience. You can do everything that you do now in your life. You can smoke a little dope. You can borrow money from rich friends. You can lend money to poor friends. You can get laid. You can do everything everybody else does, except never think out loud again.
As your political career developed, mm-hmm. and you were one of those political advisors who would work for I don't want to say whomever was hiring you, but you'd work for both sides.
No Nazis, no communists.
Okay, no Nazis, no communists. But you once used an image to describe your political leanings. I said, "What are you? Okay, maybe you'll work for both sides, but what are your actual political beliefs?"
I've been left, and I've been right. And believe me, both are hollow. If you go to the Getty, you will see a false Kairos. It was faked. It was made in our lifetimes. It's supposed to be approximately in 8th century BC. If I'm wrong by a few hundred years, that's probably normal. The point is not the sculpture. The point is that they were on the tops of the cliffs, and the Vandals gave them a shove and pushed them off the cliffs.
The Vandals invaded Greece?
Yeah, as they generally moved down. Invaded is too strong a word. As they generally moved south, they gave these statuary a shove. That's why we have them today. It is as a result of vandalism that we have them, because they rolled down the hills and they landed in the silt. And it's the roll down the hill that is anyone's political life. Your ears get lopped off. Your balls get lopped off. Your fingers get lopped off. Your toes get lopped off. Anything that sticks out, like your ideology, gets rubbed off in that roll down the hill. So I am a Kairos. I am an image of a man, but all of the rough edges have been rubbed off by those constant rolls down the hill. It would be as if the Vandals had gone and collected me from the silt, dragged me back up the hill, and rolled me down again and again and again and again.
Well, that's it for episode 3. How do you like that for a final image? Being rolled down the hill. You know, you may not agree with him all the time, but the imagery... Come on. He's got great imagery. Episode 4 is on its way. It's kind of a biggie, so be patient with me, but I'll leave you with a little preview.
Well, that's what I want to tell you about everything I will ever have to tell you. Do not trust what I say. Never.